Welcome to the Truth Tank. I'm your host, The Tank. If this is your first time listening to the Truth Tank, a big welcome. And if you're a repeat listener, welcome back. This is episode 37 of the Truth Tank, and this is part 3 of Ding Dong Oscar's Dead. On this episode, we're going to come down to the main event, and we're going to look at the slap heard around the world, the now infamous slap on Chris Rock by Will Smith during the 2020 Oscars. We're going to be having a look at that in detail. I'm not the first person to cover it, probably won't be the last. Might be a bit late at this stage to get an episode about that out, but, you know, well, it's a three-parter. It's taken a lot of time and effort to produce it, so I hope at least someone listens to it. And I thought I'd give my take on it for what it's worth. Not like I'm an expert in it or anything, I'm just giving my opinion, so agree with it or don't agree with it, listen to it or don't, I listen to it, I prefer you did listen to it, if I'm honest. Right, so without further ado, let's get into tonight's episode. This is episode 37 of The Truth Tank, Ding Dong, Oscar's Dead, Part 3. The slap heard around the world. Big Willy Scumbag. So right, enough of that. It's time to deal with the very big elephant in the room, and that is Will Smith. I mean, like a lot of people, like I love Will Smith movies. He was, when I was growing up, he was literally the actor everybody loved and everyone wanted to be. He was the cool guy. Independence Day, Men in Black, he was the action man of the moment. And over the years, his films got bigger and better. He is pretty diverse. He can do a lot of different things. He can do romance, comedy, action, drama. I mean, Ali proved he can flex his dramatic muscles. Will was a good actor. His movies were enjoyable, and he very rarely did he make shit films. There was a couple of those rom-coms that were a little bit weak, but you know, they weren't terrible overall. Will Smith kind of knew what his core audience was. But in the last 10 years, I have noticed a decline in Will Smith. He isn't as likable as he used to be, and I'm not talking just about what he did at the Oscars. I think his true colors have really started to come through in the last 10 years. He's become more arrogant, a little bit more outspoken. There's obviously a lot of shit happening in his relationship with Jada. It's a very bizarre marriage, to say the least. And his decline is reflected in his movies. He wasn't getting offered the huge movies like he used to. He would turn down just really big, obvious films like Independence Day 2. He might have been making something else at the same time. But he's turned down a lot of really great roles for really quite bizarre reasons. He was offered the part of Django in Django Unchained and turned it down. It's like, why the fuck would you turn that role down? It's a great, iconic character to play. And he hasn't really made anything that good in the last 10 years. He's made a couple of films on Netflix, but he's not really the Will Smith of the 90s and early 2000s. He's a very different Will Smith to the one I grew up watching. Will was definitely the cool guy. He was the guy that everyone wanted to be, but now he's just the weird guy. So let's talk about the slap heard around the world. When I first saw it, I thought it was a joke or just some stupid stunt that they had prearranged to try and get back some ratings. Because Will Smith does that kind of stuff in public. He does, you know, physically joke around with people. He has that kind of lopsided smirk on his face when he's joking around with people. So that's kind of what I thought it was. I thought, oh, I know he's going to come up and, you know, try to get Chris Rock in a headlock or something and, you know, mess his hair up, do something hair-related. But then when he walked up and slapped him, it became a little bit more obvious that this wasn't a joke. And when he sat down and started abusing him, keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth, and that irate, aggressive look on his face, you knew he wasn't joking. And his reaction was serious, and it was a pretty shocking event, to say the least. Like, lots of people have said it was disgusting and shocking, but yeah, it really was kind of shocking. I don't think anyone expected that to happen at the Oscars. I don't think even the security at the Oscars ever expected to do anything or have anything like that happen. Because very rarely do things like that happen in the Academy Awards. It's more so the Music Awards where unplanned shit happens. Like, you can expect a rapper might walk up on stage and hit someone or say something completely ridiculous, like Kanye West did when Taylor Swift was getting an award a couple of years ago. He just walked on stage and grabbed the mic. It was very unprofessional, but I mean, that's kind of what you would expect from the music industry, especially rappers. Rappers are unpredictable, but you don't expect that same kind of behavior to come out of an actor, especially out of Hollywood. You know, the, like I keep saying, they're the moral ground of righteousness, aren't they? They're better than everybody else, but clearly that wasn't reflected by Will Smith. I thought Chris Rock's joke was pretty funny. Some people didn't get the reference, but if you're a cinephile like me, you probably did, and you would have found it funny. It was a film-related joke in a ceremony, an award show about films, so it fit the criteria. It fit the theme of the night. And a lot of those people you have heard on the news and such lately have said, "Oh well, it was just bad taste." I don't think the joke was bad taste. I thought it was fucking hilarious. I thought it was so funny that I didn't even notice Will Smith walking up on stage. And a lot of people, I think, are taking it way too serious or want to appear that, like, they give a shit about alopecia sufferers, which I don't think Chris Rock even knew about when he made the joke. I mean, I didn't. But, you know, Jada's going to make it all about her. I mean, she wouldn't have shaved her head if she didn't want to draw attention to it. I mean, she's sitting in the front row with a fucking 18-foot-long green dress on with a shaved head. It was pretty obvious. You're fair game if you're going to be in the front row of the Oscars. That just comes with the territory. You know you're going to get roasted by the comedian. He's going to point at people. He's going to see someone in the front row and make a joke because you're an easy target, especially if you are wearing something a little different to everybody else. Or you do have a hairstyle that is different. She's got enough money. She could have got a, you know, very convincing wig made, and no one would have had to know about it. But she's been on social media showing off the shaved head and talking about alopecia and how she's suffered with it and making it all about her. She's out there making a big deal about it. A lot of people know about it. Some people don't. And I think if she was really that concerned about it, she would have worn a wig or grown her hair shorter. I just think she needs to lighten up and take a joke. And, you know, people who say the joke was in bad taste, I thought it was fucking hilarious. And why can't these people take a joke like everybody else? It's just very poor form on Will's part to act like a fucking thug on live television in front of billions of people around the world and then swear. I mean, did anyone think of the children and all this? Did he think of my young fans might be watching this and they see me acting like a thug? Maybe, you know, this is what Will Smith is saying to us. This is how you deal with your problems, by using violence. If someone makes a very mild joke at your wife in a public setting, that gives you the right to go and hit them. And this also feeds into the hypocrisy of the whole woke left Hollywood agenda. They say do one thing, but really mean another. If Bradley Cooper walked up on stage and slapped someone, he would be vilified and never work again. All you would hear about on the cover of every newspaper would be toxic white male masculinity on show at the Oscars. Hashtag cancel them. So that's why I found it very hard to believe that there were people actually defending his actions and his apparent right to use physical force in defending his wife. I mean, this isn't the 17 or the 1800s anymore. Women are quite capable of standing up for themselves. If she did take offense to it, she could have said something to him from the seat, or Will could have shook his head and given him a, you know, serious look, or had said, "Not funny." That would have given you more power, because it would have made, in a way, it would have humiliated him, even Chris Rock, even more, because it would have made him look stupid and insensitive. And he claimed he didn't know about the alopecia, which he probably didn't. But instead, Will Smith comes off like a fucking punk for bitch slapping a guy much smaller than himself. I mean, Chris Rock is a comedian after all. He is known for roasting people. That's kind of what he does. He gets paid to do it, and he's very good at it. He's roasted people before. He's not the first time he's been a presenter at the Academy Awards. It's not the first time he's made a joke. I know there is a bit of history with Jada and him. I think his joke about her at the 2016 Oscars was pretty funny as well. If you look back at that, the Smiths really wanting to be invited to the Academy Awards, but they weren't. So they have to jump on board the bandwagon and complain about it, the whole, you know, Oscar so white thing, and claim, "Oh, we're going to boycott it, so we're not going to go to the Academy Awards." But in reality, neither of them were invited. So, you know, he has made jokes at Jada's expense before, but even so, it's no justification to get physically assaulted by someone for making a joke, and it sets a dangerous precedent, especially in this very woke, politically correct time we live in. You know, if you go see a comedy show and you have no sense of humor and you get offended, is this going to give rise to people walking up on stages and punching comedians in the face because of jokes? if you were that sensitive, you shouldn't probably go outside your front door. You should probably just stay at home, lock the doors, and stick a pillow over your fucking head and pretend nothing's wrong with the world. It's pretty pathetic if you're that type of person that does get offended by everything. It's even, especially when these things don't really concern you. It's like, get over yourself. I mean, what happened to comedy in the last 10 years? He allegedly refused to leave, according to the Academy. I mean, the Academy's reaction was so fucking slow. I mean, they had enough time to think of 100 excuses of why he wasn't ejected from the ceremony that day, that night, I should say. It's a pretty weak excuse. He should have been removed by security and by force if necessary. I mean, obviously this doesn't happen a lot at the Academy Awards, but even so, what if that wasn't Will Smith? What if that was a crazed fan that had snuck into the Oscars and run up on stage and try to physically harm one of the presenters? You know, like, where is the security? Where's the reaction time? You got all these rich and famous people in the one place. I know he was at in the front row and he was nominated, and he could have got on stage a lot quicker than anyone could have probably got to him, but it doesn't say much about the security at the Oscars if that can happen and nothing, and there's no repercussions for that type of action. But in my opinion, I think he should have been removed. Maybe not arrested, he definitely needed to be escorted out, him and Jada. Or they should have got up and left if they had a real problem with what Chris Rock said. It was pretty poor form by Will, and it overshadowed the rest of the night. In fact, it overshadowed the entire night. It also took the focus off the winners and put all of that attention and media focus onto that selfish prick. I mean, most people can't even remember who won Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Director, or Best Actress. It's always all about the Will Smith slap, which is very unfair. And, you know, he apologized to those people afterwards and to the Academy, but it's, the damage is done. I mean, actions speak louder than words, and I don't think Will Smith quite understands that. But on the other hand, Rock handled it like a pro. I mean, I don't think I would have handled it the same. I think he would have got a flying fucking snap kick in the back of the head. I think most people would probably have a similar opinion. Or you'd get rugby tackled down the stairs with me on top of you throwing fucking haymakers down on you. I think Rock definitely handled it like a professional. He wasn't too fazed by it. It didn't really seem to bother him that much. Kind of just took it in his stride and got straight on with the show. I mean, he didn't even stumble over his words. I mean, he even had to explain to Will that it was a joke. And yeah, that wasn't enough. And yet, no security, no protection. He was just there by himself, just using his own wits and his own professionalism to keep the show going. He could have just walked off stage or gone, I've been injured or whatever, but he didn't. I guess it happened so quickly and it was so shocking that I think like most people who were in attendance and most people watching, it was just came as a complete and utter surprise out of left field. But yeah, he definitely did handle it like the bigger man. Rock made Will Smith look like an absolute fucking amateur in comparison. He made him look like a man that cannot control his temper or his emotions, which is what happened. I think Will Smith has got a lot of issues going on, so does Jada, and there's more to his outburst than just getting pissed off at a joke. I think this has been brewing for a long time, and if it wasn't Chris Rock he took his anger out on, it was going to be some other poor prick that wasn't as well known. And this is not the first time Will Smith assaulted anyone either. Apparently at another Academy Awards he assaulted somebody in a men's room. I tried to research that, but I couldn't find any sources on it or who it might have been or even a clue onto who he might have assaulted, so take that with a grain of salt. You know, Rock went on with the show, and the rest of the night wasn't a complete write-off. And really, in the end, Will comes off as the real victim in all of this. I mean, his career, it will probably suffer in the short term because of it. Maybe even the long term. You know, which does suck for him, but at the same time, like the Academy, this huge problem he's created for himself is all self-inflicted. I mean, he's done it to himself. He chose to walk up on stage. I mean, he's damaged his career because he let his emotions get out of line, and that should be a lesson to anybody in a similar position. You know, your emotions can ruin your fucking life if you let them. You know, sometimes you gotta fucking swallow that pride. And look, if he did have a legitimate complaint with Chris Rock, he could have gone to him after the show and gone, hey, look, I don't appreciate that. Yada, yada, yada. Jada's got alopecia, and I'm pretty sure he would have got an apology. No one had to know about it. But as soon as Jada gave him that fucking look, I'm not impressed by that joke look. She rolled her eyes and looked at Will. He fucking snapped because he was laughing his ass off when he first made the joke. He didn't think it was offensive. He was laughing, slapping his leg. Then Jada rolled her eyes, gave him a look, and then bang, on a fucking dime, he just snaps, walks up on stage, bang, hits Chris Rock. He turns into a completely different Will Smith in the blink of an eye. And I think he showed the entire world his true colours. I never quite brought the Mr. Nice Guy routine with him. I don't kind of buy that with anyone. I'm very wary of people who try to portray themselves as the good guy all the time, especially people who are very good at masking their emotions. There's something, I think, very disingenuous with that. Everyone's got a dark side or another side to them. I never quite brought the good guy routine with him. And like I mentioned about in the last 10 years, he's not the same Will Smith. I think that this problem that came out with at the Oscars started a very long time ago. I don't think this is something that's new. He's been living with this for a long time, and things have been building up over the years. I mean, obviously, Will Smith will be punished by the Academy for it. Since it happened, he has resigned from the Academy, which, I mean, he was going to get removed from the Academy anyway, so... You know, he's really only jumping before he was pushed with that one. When it first happened, people were like, oh, they're going to revoke his Oscar. I mean, I don't think that deserves to... I don't think that needs to happen. And I think he probably won the award fair and square. And I think that would be completely over the top. I mean, the Academy has only revoked, I think, three or four Academy Awards in the history of the Oscars. And I think he had to do something pretty bad. Well, I think one of them was Roman Polanski. And there was an actress who did something... And another director or a producer or something like that. Oh, yeah, Harvey Weinstein. He had his Oscar revoked, and rightfully so. So I think you have to do something on a Weinstein or Polanski level to have an Oscar taken off you. I think Will Smith is probably just under that line. He was treading dangerously close to it. I mean, look, maybe Will should have been arrested. I think he probably should have gone to lockup. I mean, he did assault someone, and like, this is just Hippocratic Hollywood. Anyone else did that, they would have been arrested because it's a very rich and famous, powerful megastar like Will Smith. I know you can physically assault someone with a billion witnesses and not go to jail. If you or I did that, we would be behind bars pretty fucking quickly. One of the most annoying things about the whole event is there is a proportion of people who are acting like he is the victim. And like he didn't just go assault a man on live TV in front of billions of people around the world. I mean, this is going to be on YouTube forever. It's probably had billions of hits by now, and it's going to stay there for a very long time. He's going to be constantly reminded of this episode that I'm pretty sure he just wants to forget about. But, I mean, realistically, like, what was he thinking? How did he think it was going to turn out? As soon as he stepped foot on that stage and walked up to Chris Rock, he knew what he was going to do. It was completely premeditated. It was an open-palm slap, which, if he did get arrested... would mean that it wasn't classed as assault because it's an open palm slap and not a punch. I think there's a law in California, if you hit someone with an open palm slap, it's not assault or something like that. Don't quote me on it. I heard that on the radio, so that may or may not be true. It's also a first for the Oscars as well. I mean, how do they handle this? They haven't had to handle this before because everyone's kind of towed the party line. Except for now, they've had to go into damage control. I mean, swearing on... live television is also very uncalled for and very amateurish, especially at the Academy Awards. Will just showed everybody that he's still Big Willie from the block. Also, it doesn't say much for the Academy. It took them 16 hours to issue a statement about the event. I mean, they should have been issuing a statement or going into damage control minutes after it happened. I don't know what the fuck they were waiting for. I mean, obviously, it is a unique situation. It's the first time it has happened. Probably lots of jokes about it a lot next year. But at the same time, I mean, why didn't they act sooner? There's enough of them on the board. I mean, they have some type of, you know, hierarchy structure. There must be, you know, the boss of the Academy. They probably should have put a tweet out or something immediately after saying that he was going to get punished. But, you know, Will Smith was allowed to stay. He was allowed to sit in the front row with Jada as if nothing had happened. And the other people were just looking around, you know, pretending to smile and do the whole big fake grin, looking at him like nothing had happened. I mean, he's a 53-year-old man. He's a professional actor at an Oscars show in public. I mean, show some class, some professionalism, and maybe a bit of decorum. You're an actor. Maybe you should act like it. You think a 53-year-old man would know a bit better than that. You think he would show a bit more class and restraint. And this is not some young 20-year-old who, you know, still immature. He's not some, you know, thug homeboy. This is Will Smith. This is, you know, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. This is the, you know, the good guy that we've been led to believe over the, you know, past 25 years. Will Smith's the good guy that everybody likes, right? He's not the violent gangster lane walk up onto a stage and slap someone. And this is Hollywood hypocrisy in action again. I mean, Hollywood and the woke left control free speech in Hollywood. You know, Rock is a comic, he's making a joke. So what the left is saying is that if you don't like what someone else is saying, in this case a joke, that it's okay to use violence. It's okay to slap a comedian in the face. I think Kathy Griffin tweeted the perfect response to this. This is a quote from her. "Let me tell you something. It's a very bad practice to walk up on stage and physically assault a comedian. Now we all have to worry about who wants to be the next Will Smith in comedy clubs and theaters." End quote. That's a good point, because that, like I said, this sets a dangerous precedent. Imagine if that happens in a comedy club. Someone walks up, slaps someone in the face. Next time it happens, someone walks up and punches a comedian in the face, knocks them out cold. Next time they walk up on stage with a knife or a gun and kill them. I mean, where does it end? Escalation is dangerous, and now comedians have to watch what they say. I mean, is it going to get to the point where comedians are on stage with bulletproof vests and armed guards? I don't think so, but, you know, there is always some fuckhead out there wanting to get famous for fucking doing something completely stupid. Or, well, Will Smith did it, so I should have the right to do it too, because everyone's an entitled, opinionated little twat these days. So Hollywood gets so outraged over every little incident, especially over the past 10 to 15 years, but have been pretty divided on the Will slap. Some think it's okay, he was defending his wife, and others are disgusted by it. This is the same Hollywood where Republicans have to hide their views and form underground groups with like-minded Hollywood Republicans, or you get blacklisted and don't have work. That has been going on for years and continues to do so. So it's no surprise that every actor, director, producer, etc. appears to be a radical left loon. Hollywood is great at ignoring the real problems and positioning themselves as the leaders of change and morality, when in fact the opposite is true. They have given questionable directors Oscars and standing ovations, such as Roman Polanski. I mean, I love Roman Polanski's films. He's a brilliant director. Has some very morally questionable relationships with underage girls. So they will give a pedo a Oscar and a standing ovation, but demonize you if you are a Republican or you like Trump or you wear a red tie or whatever it is. I don't particularly care for politics. I'm not for either side. I couldn't give a fuck less. It's just a point I'm trying to make. Then there is the Harvey Weinstein saga, and following Weinstein came the Kevin Spacey sex allegation saga, where he was allegedly sexually harassing younger male co-stars. This is also a guy that has gotten numerous Oscar nominations and has won Academy Awards. Have they taken Mr. Spacey's awards away from him? No, they haven't. He's won 2 Best Supporting Actor in 1996 for The Usual Suspects, and again in 2000 for Best Actor for American Beauty. So the list goes on and on and on. So whether you buy into all the Hollywood is run by satanic pedophiles or not, it's up to you, but it is very easy to see where those stories and rumors originate from. There is so much hypocrisy and such a double standard in Hollywood, it feeds into these ridiculous rumors that Hollywood is run by a bunch of pedophiles and devil worshippers. But there are a lot of freaks in Hollywood, so it's kind of life imitates art in a way. Hollywood has pretty much jumped on board every bandwagon you can think of, whether it's racism, sexism, or issues that they don't really understand or believe in, because they're completely detached from reality. I mean, Hollywood is in Los Angeles. Los Angeles is a very weird place. It's a very cool place, but it can also be a violent place sometimes. Is that just the whole ecosystem of Hollywood? Is that it, you know, does attract some pretty weird people? I mean, there's been a lot of serial killers that have come through Hollywood. I mean, Charles Manson wanted to break into the music industry. Or is it just a consequence of having a hub of the world movie industry in one place? Is that it does attract brilliant artistic people, but also borderline batshit crazy people? So Hollywood does cause a lot of its own problems, and they do try to sweep it under the rug and hope no one notices whenever they can. So looking back over the history of the Academy Awards, it's not that hard to see a lack of diversity, and to see a very closed-minded, very racist Hollywood. And yet maybe the Academy is generally trying to fix the mistakes of the past, but it is very obviously scattered throughout the Academy's history. It took 10 years for the first African-American to win an Oscar in Hayley McDaniel. She won Best Supporting Actress a decade after the awards had started. She won in 1939 and had to accept the award in a segregated hotel in 1940. She wasn't allowed to attend the Academy Awards because of her skin colour. There was a segregated society, even the morally superior Hollywood was segregated. It wasn't all just a problem in the South. This is Hollywood, California. You think that the rules may have been different, and yet this type of thing still happened there. It is pretty early on, it was 1939. That is also late enough to have people be a bit more open-minded. And even in Hollywood, California, this type of thing still went on. It wasn't until the 1960s that Sidney Poitier finally won an Oscar for the Best Actor in 1964. It's not just African-American actors either. Native Americans are in the same boat. There's a lot of Westerns, if not all of the Westerns that were made back in the 50s and 60s and earlier. A lot of the Native Americans were portrayed by white guys in shoe polish. They didn't respect or hire Native Americans to play Native Americans. They were always played by white guys who clearly looked nothing like a Native American. Hollywood is also responsible for mocking and adding a false history to Native American culture. We all remember the hand on the mouth making that slapping noise. I'm not sure what it's called. During some of the early Westerns, the Native Americans would always make those noises when they were charging at the Union Army or a bunch of settlers or whatever it was, which in turn became a cultural norm believed by millions around the world until it was disproven. Native Americans didn't make those noises, and it was just one of those stereotypes pushed and portrayed by Hollywood. They never bothered to really do any research. They just kind of thought, oh, well, this kind of looks and sounds good. This is what we think warriors of that age might have done. Let's put it in a movie. Hollywood is responsible for a lot of fucking stereotypes and a lot of damage to cultural significance. Same thing was done to Pacific Islanders. They were played by white guys who were dressed up in tan, playing quote-unquote natives in movies such as South Pacific and other movies that were set in the Pacific Islands. They basically got anyone who looked close enough to Polynesian. They would often use Caucasian people or Southeast Asian people to make up extras and leading roles. Some leading roles were portrayed by Polynesian people, others weren't. It was a very racist and very confusing time back then, and a lot of those movies are considered classics, and you don't see Hollywood apologizing for movies like that. I mean, even Gone with the Wind can't hide from it. That too has been a victim of cancel culture. In some cases, there might be a grounds to call a classic film quote-unquote racist, but you have to also consider the time it was made and by whom, and you're dealing with a largely white and affluent Hollywood who are tailoring films to a mainly white crowd. But there were very few leading roles for minority actors back then. Most of the movie stars of the day were white people, like Errol Flynn, John Wayne, guys like that. But it wasn't just people of color or certain minorities that didn't get a fair shot in Hollywood. It was also a lot of the people that were a part of the Hollywood system that also came under attack in the 50s and towards the 60s. Hollywood turned its attention to the quote-unquote communists of Hollywood. They would often blacklist people with alternative ideas like Dalton Trumbo and others like him. Whether these people were genuine communists or not is a different story. Some of them might have been. A lot of them probably weren't. They just had alternative ideas to the way Hollywood was run and to the greed of the movie industry and Western greed in general. Doesn't mean they were bad people. They just had alternative ideas that clashed with the normal ideas that were prevalent in Hollywood at the time. And it's probably also where the Hollywood Underground originated from. If you were a part of one of these groups or you harbored differing ideas, you would have to form your own little underground group to survive in Hollywood. If you were found out, you would be blacklisted and you would never work again, no matter how good you were. There's been a movie made about Dalton Trumbo. It's a pretty good movie, which highlights the hypocrisy and intolerance of Hollywood back in the day. And not a lot has changed in the modern day. Latinos and Eastern Europeans are always the bad guys in film and TV. If you have a crime movie set in LA that was made in the past 40 years, I guarantee it's either Latinos or African Americans are going to be portrayed as the bad guys. In New York, it's usually the Eastern Europeans or African Americans or the Irish. Yeah, the same goes for portraying Mexico in film and TV. Mexico is always bad. It's always crime-ridden. They always focus on the bad side of Mexico. The problem with drug cartels and crime and corruption. Don't show that in your own country. Just show that in someone else's country just because they're a convenient bad guy. South America is always portrayed as dangerous. So is Southeast Asia. It's always portrayed as very misunderstood. It's always a haven for terrorists, and the list goes on and on and on. I mean, how many action films have been set in either South America, Southeast Asia, or Mexico, or Eastern Europe? It's a very cliched and a very cheap way of coming up with a cliched story for an action film. So there clearly is a very obvious and reoccurring problem in Hollywood. It's no one's fault but their own. They're a cause of a majority of their own problems. It's a deep-rooted one, and ignoring it hasn't worked very well. But I digress. That was getting off topic a bit. So back to the slap heard around the world. So it makes you wonder, if there wasn't so much history between Chris Rock and Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith, would Will have slapped them? Would Will have slapped someone else, making the joke? What if Leonardo DiCaprio or Brad Pitt, Samuel L. Jackson or Wesley Snipes made the joke about his wife? Would he go up and hit them? I guarantee he would not put one fucking foot on that stage. If it was an actor who was much bigger than himself, I don't think Will would have got on stage and slapped him either. If Dwayne Johnson or Jason Momoa was making the joke, he wouldn't have dared or even thought about physically assaulting them. He would have gotten broken in half and be made to look like more of a fool. If it's true, it allegedly says a lot about his character. I mean, he would walk up on stage in front of billions and slap a smaller man than him. I mean, he's very clearly punching down in this case. No pun intended. I don't think he would have tried it on a physically bigger, more capable actor. And also Chris Rock probably should have had his hands in front of him if someone's walking up on you like that. You don't want to be leaning forward with your hands behind your back. I know he thought it was a joke, but at the same time you have to be prepared that it might not be a joke and someone might want to have some type of physical altercation. So Will is punching down, which makes his actions extremely hard to justify. No one likes the rich guy talking down to a waitress or to a person in a less powerful position than them. I mean, it's the big guy picking on the little guy. It's pretty much a very obvious form of bullying. You know, Will Smith's about a foot taller than Chris Rock. Gives him a huge slap because he knows he can physically overpower him. Will knew what he was doing, and he knew he could overpower Chris Rock pretty easily. He was laughing at first. Jada's not impressed, gave the attack dog the nod, and off he goes. The defending your wife's honor excuse doesn't hold up in 2020. Women can defend themselves. They don't need quote-unquote toxic masculinity to do it for them. There's been a lot of morons on Twitter claiming that it was an act of toxic masculinity and we need less of it. We'd need less toxic masculinity and more acceptance. It's got nothing to do with toxic masculinity. In fact, Smith is more or less a victim of female oppression, destroying his soul. His masculinity is confused and very publicly looked weak and very insecure. He looked like an insecure man with a lot of emotional problems. Jada has pretty much crushed him emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. He is not the same Will Smith from 20 years ago. I think she has as much to answer for as he does, and she won't get the blame for any of it, and she'll probably get away with it scot-free and continue to destroy his soul. So all in all, no matter which way you want to look at it, what Will did was wrong. You should never use violence to solve problems, and there's enough violence in the world. And isn't that exactly what Putin is doing, that has outraged the world, using violence to solve problems? But when an entitled, rich and famous actor does it, it's a different story. And obviously I know it's a completely different set of circumstances, but violence to solve problems in all of its forms is wrong. And there's enough of that in the world already without adding to it. If that happened in any other setting, Will Smith would probably have been arrested. If it happened on the sideline of an NBA game or an NFL game, he would have been arrested and escorted out of the building. Apparently the cops were going to arrest Will Smith, but Chris Rock said he didn't want to press charges against him, which I think is pretty lucky, and I think that shows Chris Rock's character. He took the high road, where Will Smith took the low road. Smith's lack of judgment has probably just killed his career. It wasn't a wise move. He's been trying to win an Oscar for a very long time, and the night he finally gets one is a night he might not ever work again, or at least in a very long time. It's also really funny that most of the celebs in attendance didn't do anything to stop him or weren't outraged by his actions. I know it is a shocking event and it did take everyone by surprise, no one at the event really did much or stood up or made much of a deal about it. They criticized him and condoned his actions days later on Twitter, social media, and on the news. Jim Carrey was asked to leave the Golden Globes for saying something. He didn't assault anybody, but he still had to leave the venue. So it is funny how, you know, celebs won't say or do anything in the moment, but, you know, days later on Twitter, they've got a lot of opinions to air. Where were they when it happened? No one said or did anything to stop him or even asked him to leave. It also took the Academy over 16 hours to issue a statement or an apology, which is complete and utter bullshit on all fronts. So after the slap, he sits down like nothing had happened. Jada didn't say anything to him either. And days afterwards, footage emerged of her laughing and nodding her head in approval when Will slapped Chris Rock. Whether she was laughing because she thought that was a joke is a different story. So Jada didn't say shit, neither did anyone else. If he just shouted something at Chris Rock, letting him know that he crossed a line, or the pair gave him a disapproving look, it would have been a completely different story. No one really would have cared, and it wouldn't have been such a big deal. And, you know, Will Smith probably would have looked a lot better. Minus the swearing, of course. So the hosts make a joke about it later in the show. He is sitting there laughing at the joke. He's sitting there as if nothing had happened and he didn't do anything. Which, again, shows where Will's mind is. He seemed a little disconnected from reality, like he hadn't just done something wrong or assaulted somebody. It was really weird shit from a very weird couple. So 35 minutes later, he's accepting the award for Best Actor. He even got a standing ovation by most of the people in attendance. For what? And why? He should have been heckled and vilified for his actions, not given a standing ovation. But like I keep saying, it was sudden and it was shocking. But this is 35 minutes after people have had time to process what had happened. And yet the hypocritical Academy gave him a standing ovation. Much the same way they gave Roman Polanski a standing ovation. Now, I'm not 100% sure if that was before or after the alleged statutory rape charges came out about him. So action is being taken now by the Academy. Will has until the 16th of April to defend himself. So obviously some form of punishment is coming Will's way. So speaking of the acceptance speech, you know, what a complete and utter fucking delusional, rambling load of shit that was. Much like this podcast. I did think it was pretty hypocritical, once again, mentioning hypocrisy, that he rambles on about God and about love and light and being a protector for the actresses that play the Williams sisters. The Williams sisters themselves look pretty confused and a bit weirded out by his speech. They looked emotional, but they also looked really confused and had a bit of a what-the-fuck moment on their faces. So we all talked about being a vessel for love and light and about peace and all this other shit. Where was your tolerance and your vessel for peace and love 35 minutes beforehand? Once again, it's Hollywood hypocrisy in action. He's talking one thing, how about how virtuous and how spiritual he is. All this coming from a guy that lost control of his emotions and assaulted someone. That would have been funny if the Chris Rock joke came after the Oscars speech. That would have showed he's completely emotionally unstable. And how, you know, he's a protector, he got to protect these actresses on set. Protect them from what? Your own mental state? What the fuck are you protecting them from? Then he starts crying and rambling on for 6 minutes. The music didn't get cued, he wasn't asked to wrap it up. He was crying and blubbering and mentioned during the break he was cancelled by Denzel, Bradley Cooper and Tyler Perry. I'm not sure why. I mean, I would have been condoning him for the way he acted, not patting him on the back and while he dries his tears. I mean, obviously something is going on with the guy. He's not all there. There's obviously some really big underlying issues. I found an interesting article that explains the Will Smith speech a little better. I got it on news.com.au. It's by Walina Maher. Pedro Almodovar says Will Smith's Oscar speech should not have been seen or heard. Interesting. An Oscar winner and acclaimed filmmaker was meters away from Will Smith, and he has some choice words for the actor. Acclaimed filmmaker Pedro Almodovar isn't going to cast Will Smith in his beloved movies anytime soon. The Spanish director wrote on it for IndieWire of his experience of a wild Oscars weekend, from dad jokes with Al Pacino to hanging out with Zendaya at the Saint Laurent party. And even though he said he didn't want Will Smith's onstage assault of Chris Rock to overshadow everything, he saved some choice words for the American actor and producer, in a particular Smith's 6-minute long acceptance speech, which he likened to that of a cult leader's. Condemning Smith's actions as a violent episode, Almodovar, who is best known for films including Volver and All About My Mother, and for his collaboration with Penelope Cruz, said he was a mere 4 meters away from all the action, sitting close to the stage as it happened. This is a quote from him. "What I saw and heard produced a feeling of absolute rejection in me," he said. "Not only during the episode, but afterwards too, in the acceptance speech, a speech that seemed more like that of a cult leader. You don't defend or protect the family with your fists. And no, the devil doesn't take advantage of key moments to do his work. The devil, in fact, doesn't exist." And that obviously refers to what Denzel Washington told him. The devil comes for you when you're at your highest, or some shit like that. "This is a fundamentalist speech that we should neither hear nor see." During his acceptance speech for Best Actor, which was awarded 30 minutes after Smith slapped Rock after the comedian directed a joke at Smith's wife, Smith spoke at length about his desire to protect his family. Smith said he was called on by God to be a defender of family and made a reference to what fellow actor and nominee Denzel Washington had said to him offstage moments earlier, that, quote, "At your highest moment, be careful, that's when the devil comes for you." While he made a general apology to the Academy and to other nominees during his speech, Smith didn't apologize to Rock or acknowledge his act as one of violence until the next day, after he had spent the night partying and celebrating his win. Smith released a statement the day after the Oscar ceremony and after the Academy announced it would conduct a formal review into his actions, which could result in disciplinary action, and rightfully so. Smith eventually said, "Violence in all its forms is poisonous and destructive. My behavior at last night's Academy Awards was unacceptable and inexcusable." He added he was out of line and I was wrong. The Academy also revealed it asked Smith to leave the venue in the immediate aftermath of the slap, but Smith refused. He went on to take a seat in the audience and accepted his Best Actor accolade to a standing ovation. Rock hasn't publicly addressed the events, but referenced it at a first stand-up gig this week, where he told an audience in Boston that he was still processing what happened. Elsewhere in his piece, Almodovar, who previously won an Oscar for his film Talk to Her, revealed that Nicole Kidman and Keith Urban were the only two high-profile celebrities he saw attend the hour-long award giving of 8 categories that were cut from the live Oscars. Jessica Chastain, who also present at the pre-ceremony, which celebrated achievements in technical categories including production design, sound design, and score. Howard Stern also weighed in on the Will Smith slap. This is an article from nydailynews.com by Brian Nemitz. Howard Stern says Will Smith wouldn't have slapped Jason Momoa or Dwayne The Rock Johnson. No, he would not. If Jason Momoa had made that joke, Will Smith, like a bitch, would have said, "Thank you for acknowledging my wife, Mr. Momoa," Stern said on his Monday Sirius XM show. I'm not going to read the whole article. I'm just going to skip through a couple of quotes by Stern that I like. "What happened afterwards was disturbing to me," Stern said. Will Smith sits back down in his chair. He clearly has an emotional problem. Stern called Rock a gentle soul. Said Smith was clearly insane. I marveled over the fact that Rock was able to maintain his composure and that Smith remained in the building. He said Smith got away with what he did because he's a big celebrity. I agree with that. Stern also brings up a very good point. If it was someone else other than a high-profile celebrity like Smith. This is the quote. Let's say Jessica Chastain's husband walked up on stage and smacked Chris Rock. You don't think they would have called the police and said, "We've got a madman on the loose"? He also said if someone was sitting courtside at a basketball game and assaulted a player, they would have hauled him off immediately by law enforcement. And he believes that should have happened on Sunday night. Yeah, good point. If you did that, you'd be bounced out of the area pretty quick. Here's Hollywood that's so outraged by every little thing. Not one person got up and said, "Hold on, we've got an out-of-control situation here," Stern said. How this guy was allowed to sit there for the rest of the award show and he's laughing it up and having a good time with his wife, he just assaulted Chris Rock. Stern also said he doesn't think Will Smith, 53, would have struck muscle-bound actor Dwayne The Rock Johnson. What you saw on TV was a guy who's got real issues, he said. Calling the Academy Awards horrible and long and boring. Stern credited Rock 57 for trying to make people laugh. The 68-year-old broadcaster had already fallen asleep before Smith and Rock had the incident. So there you go. So after his rambling speech, he goes backstage like he didn't just assault someone 35 minutes beforehand. And after that, he parties the night away, clutching his Oscar close, taking pics with admirers and hangers-on, singing along to his own songs, which I think is pretty weird and very sad. Will Smith as a rapper sucks balls. Those songs were cool when you were 12 to 15 years old. After that, they were just fucking cringy. And there Will is dancing around, surrounded by fans, holding his Oscar, singing along to his own songs. That came out in, the late 90s, early 2000s. I would have a bit more sympathy for him if he did show some remorse after the Oscar win, if it showed like maybe he was affected by it or he did learn something. But he acted like nothing had happened. He's just dancing around like a fucking idiot, partying the night away. Apparently the pair of them made up and sorted the issue out. But that's just what we hear in the media. Apparently Sean P. Diddy Combs mediated the talk between the two. You know things are really bad when a rapper has to mediate a disagreement between two actors at an award ceremony. So Will clearly has some issues. He has some very deep-seated emotional ones. He looks very insecure in his relationship and as a man. Mean Jada has completely destroyed him spiritually and emotionally. Their relationship is totally fucked. It's a very weird one. They've been very open about having an open relationship. That's been going on for a long time. They've mentioned that years ago. And I don't think much has changed. She also has publicly destroyed him on her Red Table Facebook show, where she openly told him that she'd been having an affair with August Alsina, who was introduced to her by her son. So she'd been banging the son's friend, allegedly, which in itself is fucked three ways from Sunday. So she looks like the real reason for his current state. I mean, she and him are both very selfish people who think the world revolves around them. Two negatives don't make a positive. There's not a lot of balance in that relationship. Will is coming off as a very insecure, traumatized person with some big issues, especially his anger. I think he really needs to deal with it. As a fan of Will Smith, I think we want to see him go back to punching aliens and not slapping comedians. It looks like Jada does dictate the relationship quite heavily. She hasn't had the easiest time with some of her partners either. She was dating Tupac at one stage. Both of them seem very egotistical. I never really believed Will's good guy persona. And Jada, to me, always looked like a controlling, manipulative bitch. They both clearly have their issues and are deeply troubled people. Right, I've got one more article to share to close out the show. Found on the sydneymorningherald.com.au by Nita Singh. It's about some of the traumatic problems affecting Will Smith. Will Smith has a therapist, and she has a name for his nice guy persona, Uncle Fluffy. He signed every autograph, shook every hand, kissed every baby. Fluffy was jovial, talented, smart, generous. Uncle Fluffy needed everyone to like him, Smith writes in his memoir. At the Oscars on Sunday night, Uncle Fluffy abruptly left the building. 1 minute, Smith was sitting in the audience with his wife, laughing along with the host, Chris Rock. Then Rock made the mistake of joking about Jada Pinkett Smith's lack of hair. Jada can't wait for G.I. Jane 2. The actress has explained in the past that she has shaved her head because she was developing alopecia, yada yada yada. Smith still appeared to be laughing as the joke landed, but his wife was not. Within seconds, Smith launched himself out of his seat, strode onto the stage and slapped Rock in the face. At first, the assembled A-listers and audiences at home presumed it was staged, but when Smith returned to his seat and shouted, "Keep my wife's name out your mouth," eyes blazing, it was clear he was deadly serious. Barely half an hour later, Smith, 53, was on stage accepting the Best Actor Award for King Richard. According to reports, the Academy held an emergency meeting once the ceremony was over, with some members demanding that Smith be stripped of his Oscar. On social media, some expressed their anger. Marshall Herskovitz, producer of The Last Samurai and Blood Diamond, tweeted, "I call upon the Academy, of which I am a member, to take disciplinary action against Will Smith. He disgraced our entire community tonight." Mark Hamill called it the ugliest moment ever. Inside the auditorium, however, the mood was different. While Rock retreated backstage to lick his wounds, Smith was consoled by fellow stars Denzel Washington, while his PR representative hovered by his side. And when he accepted his award, he did so to a standing ovation. That's Hollywood. It should really tell you something when you have to hire a public relations representative to follow you around to make sure that you do the right thing and say the right things. That should tell you that you do have a couple of character flaws. Tears streamed down Smith's face as he drew parallels between the character he played, Richard Williams, father of Venus and Serena, and himself. This is a quote from him. Richard Williams was a fierce defender of his family. He said, complaining that in this business, you got to be able to take abuse, to have people disrespecting you, and you got to smile and pretend that's all okay. Apologized to the Academy and nominees, yada yada yada. He rambled about protecting his female co-stars on set and thanked Washington for his wise words of advice. From there, it was off to the Vanity Fair Oscar party, where the DJ obligingly played Smith's old hits, Getting Jiggy With It and Miami, encircled by a crowd of admirers. He rapped the lyrics, waving his gold statue around, looking like he was having the time of his life. I think he overreacted, said Whoopi Goldberg, an Academy member. Not everybody acts the way we would like them to act under pressure. And he snapped. We're not going to take the Oscar from him. There will be consequences, I'm sure, but I think that's what they're going to do. There is history between the three protagonists. Rock had a cameo in The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Smith's 1990s show, and voiced the character of Madagascar alongside Jada Pinkett. There are photos of the three together in happier times, but Rock also had a dig at the actress when they hosted the 2016 awards, saying her boycott of the ceremony as part of the hashtag OscarsSoWhite protest was redundant as she wasn't invited. Rock let it be known that he would not press charges, yada yada yada. Diddy Combs claimed the pair had made up afterwards. It's all love, he told reporters, they're brothers. Okay. To those who know Smith only from his films, it was an astonishing night. But to anyone who has read his recently published memoir, Will, the behaviour is likely to have its roots in his turbulent childhood. And to those who follow the ups and downs of his personal life, it was just the latest chapter in the strange world of the Smiths. No celebrity couple has overshared quite so much as this one. Their marriage, their extramarital liaisons, their sex life, it's all out there. Either in Pinkett Smith's Red Table Talk show on Facebook, essentially their family therapy session, to which we're all invited, or Smith's book. Smith has spoken about the precise moment that the couple's first child, Jaden, was conceived. They were in Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Jada was on top of me as the sweet crescendo simultaneously crept upon us. He recalled as the majestic moment reached its culmination, Pinkett Smith announced, I'm pregnant, and she was. The couple met in 94 when Pinkett Smith auditioned unsuccessfully for a role as Smith's girlfriend in The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Smith was married at the time to first wife Cherie Zampino, but declared that it was love at first sight. They got together after his divorce, long rumored to have an open marriage. Pinkett Smith said in 2013 that Will and I both do whatever we want because we trust each other to do so. This does not mean we have an open relationship. This means we have a grown one, whatever the fuck that's supposed to mean. But the couple did separate for a period, during which Pinkett Smith had an entanglement with August Alsino, a rapper 2 decades her junior. Pinkett Smith, her husband, has said never believed in conventional marriage and had questions about the viability of monogamy. Smith has declared that he and Pinkett Smith are life partners regardless of what happens in their marriage. There's no deal breakers. He speaks regularly of his love for her, but appears to have approached their relationship with the same level of control he applies over his career. On a solo trip to India's Taj Mahal, Smith marveled at this monument to love, which took more than 20 years to build, 20,000 artisans to craft, and the equivalent of $1 billion to fund. And saw something of himself in it. I related to Emperor Shah Jahan. I wanted everything around me to be the grandest and most magnificent that anyone had ever seen. Powered by burning passion, my creative impulses would forge the finest expression of anything I touched. Movies, music, family, children, business, and marriage. I think that's a little arrogant. I do get it, but that seems a bit arrogant and misplaced at the same time. He brought Pinkett Smith a 256-acre ranch that she didn't like. She thought it was far too big and insisted they live in it, calling it her lake. He spent 3 years planning her 40th birthday, hiring an entire hotel in New Mexico, and putting on 3 days of activities which culminated in a documentary about her life. It's a little over the top if you ask me. Smith had tracked down a descendant of the family who owned Pinkett Smith's ancestors during the days of slavery, and persuaded him, an accountant from Ohio, to make a formal apology. Smith basked in the tears of the assembled friends and family. That would have been a cringeworthy bunch. but Pinkett Smith stayed stony-faced and later told him, "That was the most disgusting display of ego I've ever seen in my life." It's hard to disagree with that. That is a little ego-stroking move on Will's part. I mean, this accountant probably had no idea that his ancestors had owned Pinkett Smith's ancestors. Or maybe he did. You know, is this accountant from Ohio responsible for the actions of his ancestors? I mean, is anybody? Because if you want to go down that road, it's a very convoluted and murky one. That's a little unfair. It's also probably got to be very embarrassing for the accountant. He's not responsible for the actions of his ancestors. I mean, different times, it's a different generation, and it's very poor taste. And you think Will would have learned his lesson after a pretty much identical scenario in Hitch? Remember when he takes Eva Mendes to Liberty Island to look up a signature of her great-uncle or great-grandfather, and he turns out to be a serial killer from overseas, and she breaks down in tears? You would have thought he would have learned from that. At a couple's therapy session, they were asked to write down their three biggest priorities. Pinkett Smith put their children first. Smith chose himself. I'm not really surprised, because he does seem like a very selfish person. They do both seem like very selfish people. The entire family is pretty fucking weird, if you ask me. That doesn't really come as too much of a shock. When the couple decided to separate, Smith told her, "I retire from trying to make you happy." I don't think he's really looking at that the right way. I think his biggest problem is he thinks he has to do over-the-top grand gestures to try and quote-unquote prove his love, like go build a Taj Mahal or something. In this case, I think less is more. He probably could get a much better reaction if he tried something smaller, maybe, I don't know, take her out for dinner, buy some flowers, and maybe not a 256-acre ranch. The separation prompted a midlife crisis. He tried the Hollywood star's answer to 40 Days and Nights in the Wilderness, 14 Days Alone in a House in Utah. This is a quote from Will Smith. "Preparing my own meals for the first time in 30 years. Well, it must have been hard. Billions of people around the world have to do that on a daily basis. And once again, he seems very disconnected from reality. He got high on the potent hallucinogen ayahuasca in the company of a Peruvian shaman who looked like Meryl Streep. His therapist, Michelle Boehm, an expert in Jungian psychology, trauma, and tantric sexuality, told him to retire Uncle Fluffy. She also asked him, if you could have any life you wanted, what would it be? Smith's answer, he would have a harem with Halle Berry and the ballet dancer Misty Copeland among the members. There is no suggestion that they knew anything about this, but at some point, he and Pinkett Smith were reconciled, although it's unclear if her views on monogamy have changed. Smith no longer wants to play the PR game, but to let his feelings out. Recently, he has admitted to some mistakes. He acknowledges that he became an insane, overbearing father when guiding the careers of his offspring, Willow and Jaden. Willow became a pop star, age 9, with a hit single, Whip My Hair. Yeah, thanks, Will, for that atrocity to music. I don't think we'll ever forget that one. I don't think Jaden's a pretentious little shit. He's always trying to offer life advice, and this is life advice coming from a fucking 20-something-year-old with no life experience, who hasn't lived a very realistic life. Your parents are Will and Jada, he got everything he wanted as a child. Yeah, he probably has it tough in other ways, but you're kind of disconnected from most of the struggles of people in a similar age bracket. She toured the world, but Smith paid no heed. When she told him she'd had enough in desperation, the little girl shaved all her hair off, thus ensuring that she could no longer perform her trademark song, which is probably also very bad for her neck. She's now back in the music business, age 21, Jaden 23, a child star in his father's films, and a remake of The Karate Kid continues to act and sing, unfortunately. The two children, along with Trey, Smith's child from his first marriage, accompanied him to the Oscars. Jaden showed his support by tweeting, "And that's how we do it," after his father's onstage altercation and subsequent Oscar win. It could be taken either way, what he's actually referring to. Do the Smiths just, that's how they do it, go out and assault people who make jokes, or win shiny things? An Academy Award is a pinnacle of an actor's career, but Smith is unlikely to be satisfied. He has single-mindedly pursued success, adopting a life of unwavering discipline that involved going without Christmas dinner so he could extend my lead over Hollywood rivals by looking gym-toned in January. He resolved to be the biggest movie star in the world, studying Tom Cruise's promotional schedule for tips, and achieved it. 8 consecutive number one films, from Men in Black 2, 2002, to Hancock in 2008, and a vast fortune. But none of it appears to have made him content. To find a reason for that, And for his violent outburst on stage, you need to look no further than the first pages of the first chapter of Will. He recalls watching his father, Willard Smith, a volatile drunk, punching his mother, Caroline, in the head so hard that she collapsed. Smith was then age 9. The moment in the bedroom, probably more than any other moment in my life, has defined who I am today, he writes. Within everything that I have done since then, the awards and the accolades, the spotlights and attention, the careers and the laughs, there's been a subtle string of apologies to my mother for my inaction that day, for failing her in that moment, for failing to stand up to my father for being a coward. He has spoken of feeling shame that his younger brother Harry always stood up to their father, once yelling, daring a beating, "You can hit me, but you can't make me cry." Smith chose instead to be the family's entertainer, making everyone laugh, as an attempt to diffuse the tension. In common with many children from abusive backgrounds, his feelings towards his father were complicated. "My father tormented me," he said, "and he was also one of the greatest men I've ever known." Willard died in 2016. Despite all the years of therapy, the actor remains haunted by his mother's distress. In that context, Smith's leaping up to defend his wife's honour makes a kind of sense, but to do it with violence is a worrying sign and gives a lie to the promotional blurb of his book. Will is the story of how one exceptional man mastered his own emotions. End of the article. His Oscar outburst shows us that he hasn't mastered his emotions. And like the article outlined, it gives a new context to the outburst. And you definitely see Will Smith in a different light. He definitely appears as a different man after reading that article. There's obviously a lot of trauma in his background, and his inaction to his father obviously set him on the path that led to movies and music and business and all that other stuff, but also left some deep-seated scars in him, ones that he's still struggling with today. So can we really judge Will Smith that hard? None of us are perfect. Nobody is perfect, and that includes Hollywood celebrities. If you want to point the finger at anyone, you can really point it at the very toxic and bizarre relationship Will and Jada have. There's perfect examples of extremes of every kind. There's examples of toxic femininity, unchecked, undirected anger and masculinity. It's a very toxic and dysfunctional marriage. Both need help. Both are very entitled and very selfish and need to wake up and realize that the world doesn't revolve around the Smiths. And in some ways, Will is a victim of his own success. But that doesn't excuse using violence to solve your problems and the slap on Chris Rock. And since the now infamous Oscars slap, Will Smith has been banned from the Academy for 10 years, which is a fitting punishment, I think. I don't think taking his award off of him would have been very fair. Even if I do or don't agree with him winning the Academy Award in the first place, Will Smith is a pretty good actor. I tend to find him a bit melodramatic. He's a bit like Rick from The Walking Dead, played by Andrew Lincoln. Every monologue and every sentence he says is very overly dramatic, given the circumstances. It's always like the sky is falling or the world is ending whenever he delivers a line. It's very kind of overly emotional and dramatic. And I find Will Smith very similar, especially in a lot of his more modern films, his more dramatic action dramas. But either way, that's just my opinion. So the Academy has handed down their verdict. He's banned for 10 years. And rightfully so, he did pretty much destroy the Oscars with one slap. He didn't do much for ratings, and he has only tarnished the reputation of the Academy even further. They didn't help themselves, of course. They took 16 hours to get a statement out and took a couple of weeks to make a decision. He also won't be attending the Oscars next year, obviously, or probably the year after that or the year after that. I don't think he'll be invited back somehow, or Jada. And since then, he's appeared on a podcast joking about the slap. I haven't listened to it. I don't know what podcast it was, but I did see a clip of it. It's not a good look. Should have been a bit more humble, maybe. A bit more apologetic, but Will Smith doesn't really seem to care too much. He doesn't seem to be that apologetic. He's made a couple of statements on Twitter, but not much more than that. His wife has been questioned about it while, going to a party a couple of days later and didn't comment. Will Smith doesn't seem too apologetic, and who knows what the future holds for the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. He's had a couple of movies in the works that have now been paused because of what has happened. So he probably hasn't done his career any favours. He might just be a short-term thing and might be forgotten in a couple of months or weeks. In the short term, it's probably going to affect his career negatively. I don't think the movies will be cancelled. They might delay them until it all blows over. There's too much money at stake after all. I think the Mr. Nice Guy reputation of Will Smith has been tarnished forever. Myself, like a lot of people, have invested a lot of hours to come up with a podcast episode or a YouTube video dedicated to Will Smith when we're really ignoring the real problems in the world. It's all a bad shit in the world. I mean, it is sad that the world's media has decided to focus on Will Smith as much as it has. I think Michael Bay summed up the whole Will Smith episode perfectly when asked about it while doing publicity for his new film Ambulance. And I think it's a good place to wrap up the slap heard around the world. And this is the quote from Michael Bay. "I don't really care. I wasn't watching. I saw it, first of all. It's wrong to begin with. I don't really care. Hollywood gets very self-absorbed. There are babies getting blown up in the Ukraine right now. We should be talking about that. I really don't care." I think Michael Bay summed it up perfectly. And I think we'll leave it there. And that brings us to the end of our epic look at Ding Dong Oscar's Dead, the slap heard around the world. Thank you very much to everyone who listened. Coming up in the next show, we'll be having a look at the conflict between Ukraine and Russia. I felt compelled to do an episode on it. Like most sane, freedom-loving people around the world, I've been pretty shocked and appalled at what's happening in the Ukraine. I'll be doing a pretty deep dive into the conflict between Russia and Ukraine and the backstory between the annexing of the Crimea and the history of the Soviet Union and how it isn't quite what it seems. So that will be coming out in a couple of weeks' time. I've been doing my research for it and it's taking a really long time. I do apologise for the delay in episodes. The research has got pretty fucking stupid. It's taking a long time to get the research done. As you can probably tell, I've had to pause the fourth part of the bioweapons series. I'll be picking that up a little later in the year. Hopefully not too long. It's about 80% complete. So thank you to everyone who listened to the end. The Russia vs. Ukraine episode should be out in a couple of weeks, so stay tuned for that. If you'd like to support the Truth Tank, there's a couple of things you can do. Head on over to the Facebook page, follow and like it, subscribe to the podcast on your preferred podcast player, rate and review the Truth Tank on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from. It helps the podcast grow and rise through the ranks, apparently. Tell your family, tell your friends, tell people at work, anyone you think might like the Truth Tank. Help spread the word and get the Truth Tank out there. Right, thank you very much to everyone who listened to the end. And as always, I'm the Tank, this is the Truth. May the Truth be with you. Oh,